All right, this is an interview with Mr. Louis Spillman, S-P-I-L-M-A-N. Our date is May 10th, 1980. We're here interviewed by Bob Winley and John Bowerman of the Montgomery County Historical Society. Now, Mr. Spillman, what was your date of birth?
January 7th, 1899.
And where were you born?
On the second house south of the big four-way road along Walnut Street.
And that house is probably still standing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And it's on the east side of the street. I think it's a little sort of a bungalow, isn't it?
That's right.
And what was your father's occupation?
He was a postman.
And I believe you told us that he died while he was delivering mail.
He was a city carrier, but he was a small man, 5 feet 7 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And carrying the mail was quite a task for him.
Mm-hmm.
So they transferred him to a rural route.
Yes.
And while he was on a rural route, he dropped dead.
And that was a horse and buggy days.
That's a horse and buggy days. I used to go with him occasionally. And used to go down to the post office and help. They didn't have the strict, rigid control of things then that they do now.
Where was the post office in those days?
Well, it was right across the street from the Ben Hur building.
Oh, it was the old, what was later on, that would have been the Eagle's Lodge, I suppose, there.
Right across. And the new one is east of there.
Yes, okay. Now, we have this article that you wrote about Lincoln Street, about a celebration they had here. What was your connection with Lincoln Street?
My grandfather owned a home at the corner of Lincoln and
Grand Avenue.
And Grand Avenue. And my father and mother and I had lived there a while with him. Then we moved, but I stayed a great deal of the time with him as my grandmother had died.
Mm-hmm.
He was alone, and then we moved back there and was living there when World War I came into being.
Now, you enlisted in the service then in World War I.
I enlisted a year before I graduated from high school in 1916 and immediately enlisted because they were calling for enlistments to go to the Texas border.
Mm-hmm.
And what they said was to protect against the inroads of the Mexicans because
mm-hmm.
they were coming over. And then before my year was up, the World War opened.
Yes.
And we were sworn into federal service, and first thing I did was to go with the company to Gary, Indiana, to guard a powder plant. In the meantime, my father advised me that the best way to be in the Army, and if you're going to be in the Army, is to be a commissioned officer.
Yes.
So Ed Otto, E.F. Otto, who was a jeweler down on Washington Street and Main, right next to Warren Peck.
Mm-hmm.
And he, through him, we found out that they were trying to get young men into become flyers.
Mm-hmm.
We had no Air Force. But flying had just become apparently essential with the commitment to women.
I had never seen an airplane. Well, I'd never been here. But I applied for that. And was accepted and sent to Columbus, Ohio. Ohio State University for ground school about halfway through. It transferred us to University of California in Berkeley. And I finished up there. And from there was transferred to San Diego, North Island, where they were training pilots. We were a part of the Signal Corps. Didn't even have an Air Force. And after about 7 hours and 35 minutes of the pilot, the man hopped out of the, my instructor had been a general in Carranza's army in Mexico. And he was.
Was he a Mexican?
No, he wasn't.
He was an American.
He was a soldier of fortune.
Oh.
He had a $3,000 diamond at that time that he wore. And show you how foolish you are when you're a kid. Of course, there was an awful lot of deaths from crashes in these things. Why, we were each one saying, well, I hope when we crash that I live, and if he dies, I'll take that ring. It just shows you. He was a wonderful fellow. But anyway, when he'd take us out, teach us to take off and land.
Very good. Keep down a little bit.
He'd teach us to take us off of that. And without any warning, he got out. The seats, there were two seats, one in front of the other. The teacher sat in the front seat and the student in the back seat. I found out later that's because sitting in the front seat is a little more dangerous. If you crash, the engines have to crush you. Well, anyway, he got out and said, take it up. I said, you mean alone? That's right. So I took off. And it came, made a circle, landed. He jumped up and down, yelled, spoopy. He says, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Do it again. Well, that gave me a little more courage, so I did it again. And then, from then on, I took what was called dual instruction, cross-country.
Did you ever get overseas then?
No, sir.
Never got overseas?
I was ordered overseas and reported at the port there in New Jersey. And when I can't think of it now, it'll come to me. And arrived there to leave on November the 11th, 1918.
And that was when the armistice
day. That was armistice day. So the local official said, no, I'll send you, war is over. Washington still thought we were following orders. So we went over to we were individuals, we wasn't in the squadron, but the few of us that were there went over and took over the Stanford White Home, Gramercy Park Circle in New York City. Had mirrors all over the ceilings and side. He was an artist. And Harry Thaw.
Yes, I knew that.
And So we stayed there, and one of us would go out to the, every day to see if they had any orders, do anything with us. 6 weeks we were there.
Yeah.
And,
Now, did you get back to Crawfordsville at all?
Came back to Crawfordsville as soon as I completed what was known as preliminary training in California, San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
We were given a leave, and,
Now, was that when you flew into Crawfordsville? Yeah.
I came.
How'd that happen?
Well, the Chamber of Commerce of Crawfordsville heard that I was coming back, and they got in touch to see if I couldn't get an airplane and fly over there. Well, nowadays, I wouldn't have had a chance. But then, you know, there was an Air Force colonel or major that one of the plants here that was producing for the Air Force. I say it's Air Forces.
Yes.
And so I just walked over and said, my name is Louis Spillman. I'm a flyer in the Air Department of the Signal Corps. They're having a drive to sell war bonds in Crawfordsville. They've asked me if I could get a plane to come over there. I understand you have a plane here. Could I borrow it? Well, I said, sure. Which would certainly not be true today. And he says that I've got it over in Speedway. And you can take it. And I'll send a mechanic with you. All right. Went over. Well, now there are two types of control there on these early airplanes. Our plane was the St. Louis Streetcar Company. And the type I learned on was a stick.
Mm-hmm.
This one was a depredusin control, which was a wheel. But I didn't bother me any. I knew this much, that if you got in trouble, nose down till you get enough speed to get out of trouble. So I didn't say a word about it being different control. I just got in. This fella got in. We took off. Every station on the then existing interurban line, the station man would come out, and he saw us approaching, he'd call the next station. Let us across. You couldn't go over 70 miles an hour in the plane, unless you were going down. And I did try that one time, and I had to put both feet up, pull back and cut the so when it didn't blow, break up. Well, anyway, we got there and they'd advertised this thing, and there were over 5,000 people out at this cow pasture, which is now a...
Now, where is that? Is that the one out east of town?
The one south of town.
Oh, south of town.
Now, Washington Street didn't come through then.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come out Grant and turn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But now Washington Street comes right out to it.
Yeah.
And Fallon had a bus line.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have cabs. It was drove a horse, and if you wanted to go to take your girl out to the dance or something, call and they took the horse and horses. It went. Well, Well, anyway, he had fixed a white sheet square. So I know for the land.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that I landed there by sheer luck. But it did. And we came down. I thought, well, I'd give him a little excitement beforehand. So I did some loops and Immelman turns, which is a very dramatic looking side slip. And a lot of stunts. Came down, landed, stopped. Well, I said, come on, to the mechanic, not a sound. He was completely out. He was sick as a horse and completely out. So we got some help and we carried him over and put him under a tree. And I took Ezra Boris, who is, I believe, the head of the Ben-Hur Lodge and church at that time. I took my father up, and this young lady,
your wife, present wife.
Present wife, she wasn't my wife. She was a senior in high school. Well, show you what, no, she appeared out there in a riding outfit. And her father hadn't given his permission for her to go until he saw me do all these things and take up Boris. My father said, well, you go ahead. So I went up, and I always told my children, if I were up there, I said, now look, you're going to marry me. And if you don't agree to marry me, we'll never come down. We just won't go down. Well, of course, anybody with any sense would know you couldn't guarantee that to come down. Well, she did. But as our children would begin to grow, I told them that story, and they told it to the teachers, and all caused a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
Is it true that part of your outfit included boots with spurs on?
We had to wear the cavalry outfit uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And that was boots and spurs. So we spurred our plane on.
Well, now, we've missed something here. We forgot to, we want to go back about when you were in school here in Crawfordsville. You said you went to various schools, Mills and where else?
Mills and Wilson and Tuttle.
And was the, did you go to the present high school building? Was that there at that time?
Oh, the old building. I did. That's where I went.
Mm-hmm. And you said you were president of your class in high school?
For 2 years, yeah.
For 2 years.
Last
Who was the principal of the school back in those days?
Miss Anna Wilson. God bless her.
Uh-huh.
She was a marvelous woman.
John here is an authority on Anna Wilson, so John, why don't you ask a few questions about that?
What do you remember about Miss Anna? What, as you, I recall that when she was dismissed, you wrote a letter back to the journal, you know, in complimentary to her. What do you remember about Miss Anna? What stamps in your mind?
First of all, I was poor as a church mouser. And she treated me as though I was king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, she took an interest. How are you getting along? How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And did that with all the students.
She was
friendly, but not, she was fun, but friendly. And I used used to go out to her house, as did most of the students, to visit her when she lived on Wabash Avenue. And, well, I don't know whether you want this or not, but Ward Walkup didn't want her to be principal.
Ward Walkup.
Rank Walkup's brother. Rank, I knew very well. He was postmaster.
Who was Helen Walkup? What relation was she to Ward? She was a teacher, but...
I don't know.
At the same time that all this happened.
See, this happened after I left.
This happened in 1919, huh?
Yeah. See, I'd been out of Crawfordville.
That's Elsie Walkup, but married into the...
But at any rate, she was my idea of a marvelous principal of a high school. And,
Now, what year did you graduate from Crawfordville High?
1916. And we were still big. Full of life then.
But she was still principal when you graduated.
Oh, yeah. After she got let out, she came to New York, and we had moved to New York meantime. So we took her out every once in a while to a show and dinner. I saw a lot of her. And then she came back and made superintendent of schools. But I kept hammering at different people here. See, I'll do something about it. Frank Evans, I remember one of them that I kept writing to. And of course, Mr. Moon. And then there was a man in that bank that committed suicide. But you want to cut out some of
the... I don't remember. Who was that?
Mom, who was the president of the bank Father Moon worked with? Lived on Main Street, doggone it.
There's the second house in the corner, right next to where the post office is now.
Had a son.
The president of the Elston?
I'll find out and drop it to you at 11. Because I know who it is.
Oh, dear, I can't see. Name.
Well, anyway, she became superintendent of schools. And then retired, I assume, from age, or maybe she
died. She died. She died in July of 1920. 24.
What did she do when she was in New York? What was she doing there?
She was studying. She wasn't working it. She was taking courses in Columbia. That's my understanding.
Did she go down all by herself?
Yes.
All right, let's move on here, and maybe you can think about some more things you want to ask about. Let's talk a little bit about this fair that they had here on Lincoln Street when they had this big celebration out here. Well, tell us what you know about that.
I've forgotten who may have originated that. I know I was very interested in getting it going and worked very diligently to see if they did it.
Did Dumont Kennedy have some kind of leadership
in it? Dumont Kennedy, I give full credit for having it. He was mayor, I believe, at the time. I believe that's right. And he lived right here. And there were 7 or 9. Which was it, 7 or 9 But every eligible man on this little one block street immediately enlisted,
mm-hmm.
war broke out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seemed worthwhile.
Unusual.
Yeah.
Now, was this celebration when that happened or after that happened?
After everybody had enlisted is when they had it.
Mm-hmm.
Had Jim Watson here to speak.
How did they happen to get Jim Watson?
He was a United States Senator at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, did somebody know him or something that brought him here?
Probably Dumont Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm not right well acquainted with him. But I was not responsible for that. But later, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where abouts was the platform? Are we about sitting on that spot now? Do you remember?
The platform was up near the end of this, toward
Grand Avenue.
Toward Grand Avenue. And it seems to me it was on that side of the street. And everybody's over here. And there wasn't any house.
No, there was no house here. There was a grove of elm trees.
Yeah.
Were those here at that time?
I'm sure there were. I've heard a row of trees anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember distinctly Dumont Kennedy presided and introduced Senator Watson. I couldn't tell you a word that Senator Watson said. I never was a great admirer of Senator Watson. I think he was a very good speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about what kind of a street this was at that time.
Well, it was a very poor street. People living on it, poor. It was not paved, gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you this, you'd have to cut it out.
Oh, no, just this.
But every Saturday I delivered groceries for Rob Grocery. And every Saturday, they were the last ones in. And that was the last place I took in. Well, I was a young fellow in high school. I think just in my third year. It was summertime and winter, because Saturday's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drive out great trepidation because of these cemeteries, and of course they told all sorts of stories about cemeteries.
This was when you were in grade school or high school?
High school.
Uh-huh.
But I'd go to the end there, and I'd take the groceries in and open the back door and leave the groceries and get out just as fast as I could. And I remember one, they didn't have any indoor plumbing. And so I was going in quite innocently, and Mrs. Jolly was in a galvanized wash tub taking a bath. Well, I just dropped the groceries and ran. I was embarrassing. I wonder, maybe that reason she didn't want to see me.
Was that the same Mrs. Jolly?
Well, I don't know the same Mrs. Jolly.